Hello, and welcome to Radio Prague Weekend Programming with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, we have continued reaction to Radio Prague ending its shortwave broadcasts. We'll be hearing from people who have fond memories of shortwave and others who are less than worried that it's gone. Plus, you'll learn who this month's mystery person was, all that in Mailbox. After that, we have a new edition of Czech Books with David Vaughan, in which you can meet Czech poet Vera Chase. And we follow that with our history mini feature from the archives. As promised, though, let's go straight to Mailbox with Pavla Horáková with your latest questions and comments.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's Mailbox. As promised, today we will reveal the name of the mystery person from last month's quiz. But first up, we have these emails. Mohammed El Said Abd El Rahim writes from Egypt.
The rapid developments and events in Egypt did not stop me from listening to and following Radio Prague, as it is a friend and companion to me every day. The end of the shortwave saddens me greatly, but this will not prevent me from following your programs and news. I wish all those in the English section of Radio Prague every success and all the best, and I hope that stability will prevail in the whole world.
Thank you, Mohammed. We really appreciate that you find the time to follow our programs in such turbulent times, and we wish you and your country all the best too. Jim McKeel from Ottawa, Canada, too was sorry to see the end of shortwave broadcasts.
When I was a child, my father used to listen to shortwave radio and would write to the stations giving reception reports. He received a number of replies, including the calendar and Christmas cards from you that are shown in the attached photo. I was very fortunate to have kept these. They are the only ones left from that time period. I remember that we used to listen to faraway stations like yours on a Heathkit receiver, using a very long wire antenna stretching from our house to the opposite end of our backyard. It was an amazing experience to receive such signals from so far away on a cold winter's night in Camrose, Alberta. Since then, I've always listened to shortwave broadcasts, now currently on my 1938 DeForest Crosley vacuum tube radio. I shall miss your station on the air, but will continue to listen via the internet. Thank you for being part of a special past for people whose hobbies include radio.
Thank you, Jim, for your kind words and for the photo. That can be viewed on our website. Richard Howard from Great Britain is one of those listeners, however, who say they will not miss shortwave greatly.
Not too worried about the loss of shortwave broadcast. This is a worldwide trend, and much better reception is obtained via the internet. Not such a challenge, of course, and a pity for those who enjoyed chasing QSL cards and battling with adverse ionospheric conditions.
Just a reminder, QSL cards are still available to those who send us a reception report. The updated form is on our website. In the previous edition of Mailbox, we quoted a listener complaining about Radio Prague pumping out propaganda. I encouraged other listeners to have their say on the subject, and here's what David Eldridge from the UK wrote.
I cannot but take your bait in the last edition of Mailbox regarding propaganda. Of course, the output of Radio Prague is propaganda. Propaganda is probably the business of every journal and media outlet. It is the task of the consumer to try to understand the propaganda standpoint of the publisher in order to make their own interpretation. In contemporary Europe, the output of Radio Prague stands on the right of the political spectrum, particularly as influenced by your right-wing prime minister and government's activities domestically and abroad.
Your thoughts on the subject are welcome. Please let us know what you think. The address will follow shortly. And before I get to your quiz answers, I would like to wish our listener Michael A. Daly from Danvers, Massachusetts, a happy 48th birthday, which he's celebrating now as we speak. Have a very happy birthday, Michael, and we wish you many happy returns. Now on to last month's quiz, in which we asked you to tell us the name of a Czech explorer born in 1898. Bob Boundy from New Zealand writes,
his name is František Běhounek, born in 1898. It was a scholarship in the Curie Laboratory which interested him in radioactivity and nuclear physics. He was also a popular writer of science and children's books. He was on the first historic Airship Italia flight to the North Pole. He survived the crash, and after many weeks, he was rescued by the icebreaker Crassin.
Hiroyuki Okada from Japan wrote,
"This was a little difficult for me. I could find his name written in Japanese easily, but I didn't know his name in the Latin alphabet. So I tried many spellings of his name in Google, and finally, I could find out his real name."
This answer is from Hans Werner Lollicke from Denmark.
The person you're looking for is František Biehounek, born in Prague in 1898 and who died in Karlovy Vary in 1973. He was a real polyglot, top scientist in radiology and astronomy, explorer, and on top of that, writer of popular books on scientific subjects and his expeditions. Today, science is so advanced that even the best scientists have to concentrate on one subject, and there is hardly any place in the world to explore anymore.
Colin Law from New Zealand writes,
"In 1926, Marie Curie Sklodowska recommended Biehounek to be a member of the Roald Amundsen airship Norge expedition to the Arctic. On that journey, he measured the radioactivity of the atmosphere. 2 years later, Biehounek joined the Umberto Nobile expedition, but their airship, the Italia, was wrecked. They were rescued by a Russian icebreaker after 7 weeks in a small tent on an ice floe. Biehounek was probably the first Czech to fly over the North Pole."
Charles Konecny from Ohio wrote,
"Biehounek's interest in the sciences served him well. After studying at university, he was able to go on to research with Marie Curie. And who hasn't heard of Marie Curie? Plus, he had some interesting scientific expedition adventures, especially the second trip to the Arctic when the Italia crashed. Not a good place to do that. He was, though, a very accomplished scientist and went on to work for many years in various Czech institutions and also UNESCO. And in his spare time, he wrote many books, both fiction and non-fiction. I tip my hat to František."
And finally, this answer from David Eldridge from the United Kingdom.
"Returning from the second trip, the airship Italia, conveying them, crashed with 8 survivors, including Biehounek. They set up a survivors' camp on an ice floe, and during the 7 weeks they were in the camp, Biehounek continued to make measurements of natural radioactivity, revealing very important data. He may have felt at home there, since his father's profession in Prague was an iceman."
Thank you all very much for taking part in our quiz, and here's the name of the lucky listener who can soon expect a parcel from Radio Prague. He is Richard Howard from Great Britain. Congratulations. And here's a new opportunity if you weren't lucky this time. In March, we are looking for the name of the inventor of the printing method of lithography, who was born in Prague in 1771. Please send us his name by the end of March. The address for your answers, reception reports, queries, comments and complaints is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 10099 Prague. Mailbox will be back on March the 19th. Until then, stay with us if you can.
That edition of Mailbox brought to you, as always, by Pavla Horáková. And now we turn to today's main feature. Věra Chase is one of the most original voices in contemporary Czech writing. She's just finished putting together a collection of her poetry, both new poems and old, some dating back 25 years, to when Věra was a teenager during the dying days of communist Czechoslovakia. Her writing is intensely physical, full of energy and irony, and over the years has lost none of its freshness, or, as one critic humorously put it, stickiness. David Vaughan looks at the collection and meets its author.
Věra Chase's new book has an unusual title. In English it would be 30 Death Point Strawberry, which makes little sense until you imagine it as a temperature, 30-something point something. And this is typical of the author's playfulness, suggesting the physicality of the body, the sweet sickliness of the strawberry, and the omnipresence of the grim reaper. And the book itself is beautifully produced. The lettering on the cover reminds you of embroidery work, and nearly every page is decorated with Vera's own line drawings. So when I met Vera Chase at her flat here in Prague, I asked her why the book looks as it does.
I had this idea about the book being like a package, because I remember some books that I read, the feel and the, you know, like if there was something that you could unfold, or if there was like a little letter included, you know, these things, nice things. So I always have a feeling about this book being a package. So I wanted a certain look. It has this like a little bit poisonous feeling, the book. I used a lot of mushrooms, and also I have old books of stitches and embroidery. So we used that, and I drew some patterns, and then we put it together, and it came out this way, like the pencil drawing.
And you mentioned this sense of poison. It's a kind of sickly sweet, a kind of grim fairy tale sort of quality, isn't it? That's menacing.
Well, you know, in this country we collect mushrooms. In many countries people are really scared of mushrooms, but I don't think that people perceive mushrooms as like basically evil in this country, because when there are mushrooms, everybody's in the forest, you know how it is here.
So tell me a little bit about the poetry and the writing in this collection.
I have some like old poems that I rewrite, or that I have not so like ready to publish them for some reasons. And I think that enough has accumulated for this book, and I decided that I have to like do the last editing and then choose. I got this grant from the Latvian Ministry of Culture to like come to this nice place, very quiet, for 4 weeks, which is just enough, I think, to complete work like this.
Was it by chance that you went to Latvia, or was it a place that you'd chosen to go to?
I was curious. I haven't been there. And I have to say that if you talk about poetry, I mean, Latvia is the place. It's like there is so much nostalgia and this, I mean, what you connect with poetry, all these feelings like this sweet sadness and a little bit of autumn, and I don't know, it's just, it's there. I mean, and the people, they love poetry, and everybody feels very connected with it. And it's like people read poetry in their daily life, and you open a magazine, there is some poem. It's much more present in the daily life.
And you were able to find the space as well within yourself to finish this collection.
It was the perfect place for it. It's very, you know, it's a resort that was very, very busy. It used to be when it was part of the Soviet Union. They built these beautiful parks there, and it's all totally abandoned. They're beautiful. They're like equipped. On the beach, you see like one swing after another, and it all just like this creak, creak in the wind.
Sounds a bit too melancholy for my taste.
Oh yeah, I mean, you just don't stop thinking about suicide there.
And you wrote some poetry there in Latvia as well. This is a poem you're going to read us, which isn't in the collection, partly for the reason that you actually wrote it in English, which, as in a previous interview, we discussed this, that you do write in both Czech and English. It's called To the Beach and Back.
Mm-hmm. You know, living in this house with writers, the one funny thing is that you think, as a writer, you are so, like, unique, because I mean, how many times are you surrounded by writers, you're living with writers? But when you do live with them, you find out that they have like similar traits and similar characteristics, and it just suddenly you feel that everybody is always analyzing and synthesizing, and suddenly you don't feel so unique. It's like a congress of bricklayers, you know, like that's what we have in common. Oh yeah, this is a really nicely made wall, you know.
So let's hear the poem.
Okay. The reason why I decided to say it, because there was one guy who was very different, and he was a judge, an old judge from Belgium. And I wrote this poem for him. It's called To the Beach and Back. I walked with this girl to the beach the other day. We merely knew each other. I guess I could have been her father, but asking age would have been inappropriate at that stage. The sea must have been cold. The pebbles rattled between her bare toes. She had taken her sandals off on the wooden path among the dunes. Out of a miniature rucksack she produced, a blanket to sit on, a towel, a bottle of tasty local water. Her bikini! Shyly, she changed while clumsily sank onto the blanket and pulled my jacket closer. I was trying to look in a different direction, fully aware of her abashed feelings. Yes! In spite of the sun's brightness, even from far, the sea was indeed freezing. The seagulls were shrieking, none to be seen even close to the water. But she wanted to try it anyway, to test herself against the element, to see how much she could take, I guess. She was that kind of a limit testing lass. In principle, I had felt quite neutral about her so far. But the minute she disappeared under the water, I was overcome. A deep sensation of chill and admiration. Every cell of my skin retracted, as if going under. She swam a bit and waved at me. But I was still so frozen on her behalf that it took me a while to return to the gallantry. Astounding. When she walked out, gleaming, radiant, alive, I felt as if the dip brought her back from the world of the dead to the world of the living. There was no more neutrality between us. She sensed with every nerve of her body, and it reflected on me. I wanted to assist her, to wait on her, so cold and wet in the breeze. But she had no towel, I observed. So she just stood there above me, in full blossom, salty water beads glistening on her skin. This time I was looking, still stunned, while she changed. And it was the same shyness as before that prevented her from completing the job. Two big wet spots fast spread over her tank top from the undone bra. And there was no underwear under her skirt. Every step of our walk home, I relished the secret knowledge, knowing that the tiny spot at the back of my bald head was sweetly sweating, as it still, though rarely, likes to do.
What inspired you to write that poem from the point of view of an older man admiring a young girl?
Well, as I said, it was this judge, old judge, he was already retired from Belgium. He was a small guy who was always dressed perfectly and a complete gentleman. And
sounds a bit like Hercule Poirot.
Yes, it was so much. And we really got along. And it was just such a nice coupling. And when we went to some bar to like have a chat, we were like by far the oldest people in the bar because everybody was like, I think, under 22. And it was just a nice coupling, and I just started seeing things from his point of view. And he never talked about these things, you know. But when I gave it to him at the end, I was a little bit embarrassed. And he said, well, this is really very much like me.
Let's return to the collection. You've got another poem that you're going to read us now. This is a slightly longer poem. Tell me a little bit about this poem.
The pieces in this book originated in between the years 86 and 2008. And this poem is from just after the revolution. And I used to attend a lot of readings that were organized by expats here. It was a really, like, interesting environment. And some people contact me right now. I have to say that the competition and the quality of writing was pretty good there, what people presented at these readings.
This was sort of in the early 90s, just after the fall of communism, when there were a lot of people coming from all over the world after the borders of Czechoslovakia were opened and there was a lot going on.
Yes, exactly. And also these people had something in common. They were not scared to enter a country that has not been surveyed. And, you know, there were no guidebooks about this. And so they entered this unknown territory. So they had some courage. They started newspapers and businesses. So I wrote this poem at the time and I read it. And it's quite a strong poem. And I was actually never courageous enough to publish it in Czech. But finally, I suppose the time has matured enough.
It's interesting that you're happy to publish it and to read it in English, but you're more cautious in your native tongue.
Well, the whole context of literature is different in the English-speaking world and here. And unfortunately, what is well accepted abroad is not accepted here at all. And so I think that's also part of it. And also the fact that when you speak a different language than your mother tongue, of course, certain strong words don't affect you as much. But this poem is called Hatred Caused by Love. And this poem begins this way. You may call me nagging. After all, I am a woman. And don't worry, I will not forget to make you feel guilty. I really am a woman. And I don't care one bit about your feelings today. I'll do my best to make you feel like a zit, at least until my shell softens and melts just by being near you and your body. But now I have no problem telling you, since you're not around, that there is no will to forget how you left me on the very first day of my period, when I'm as fragile as an airmail crystal glass flute, the first day out of the reach of the pill. one of the only 7 days left for my pleasure. The days of desire. Oh, so why wouldn't you leave me when you heard the hot whispers of my body? For once clean against for you after 3 weeks. When I had exercised with a razor to be as smooth as your hands, which you work your tool with in the empty bed, probably even thinking about me. But I don't give a shit about this. I don't care. I don't care that good writers don't use 3 exclamation marks because it's childish. I don't care about them one bit. I care about my hurt feelings. Not more. The next time, when you want to take me in your hands, I'll be thorny as a hedgehog, causing your hand to swell. Swell so you won't even be able to do so much at all, not even to massage your slimy fat sausage that you love anyway so much. Punishments come, call me what you will, but I will see you to my door, the door of my mind, body, and art.
You wrote that poem nearly 20 years ago. Do you still think you've got the same potential for anger and fury in you 20 years later?
Yeah, I think I do. But maybe I would try to regulate it. The potential is definitely there.
So in some ways you have mellowed as you've got older.
Well, there is experience. And also some things that you have felt so many times that you don't feel them as strongly anymore. Like the emotions can a little bit become weaker, no? Because you have dealt with people who are angry at you, who swear at you. You know how to handle it more. It doesn't make you sweat like 3 nights in a row or something. And I know falling in love is still strong.
Viera Chase, thank you very much indeed for talking to Radio Prague again. And I wish you best of luck.
Thank you too.
You've been listening to Czech Books with David Vaughan and his guest, the poet Viera Chase. If you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's program, please do so by contacting us here at the station, write to english@radio.cz, or write to our street address, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. As always, you'll also find more news and stories on the internet. Our address is radio.cz, and you can follow the latest discussion if you have an account on Facebook. So those interested can do all that. Now we go to our final feature for this day, or rather mini feature. It's From the Archives, which uses unique recordings in Czech Radio's archives to look back at moments in history. And David Vaughan stays with us for that.
Zdravíme vás z Československa, kde nyní padá sníh, z Evropy, kde je nám teskno.
The voice of the Czech writer Karel Čapek with a Christmas message of goodwill broadcast on Radio Prague in 1937. Čapek, who died just a year later, was hugely popular in pre-war Czechoslovakia, with his novels, stories and plays combining humour, satire and a strongly humanist vision. Internationally, he's best known as the inventor of the term robot in his 1920 play RUR. In 1937, Prague's National Theatre staged a new play by Karel Čapek, Bílá nemoc, The White Disease, a bitter satire on Nazi Germany. Radio Prague's Oswald Bambra reported on the new production.
The theme of the play is this. A terrible unknown malady, a kind of white leprosy, has attacked humanity. The only medical man in the world to find a remedy for the disease has a profound hatred for warfare. He refuses to part with the secret of his discovery unless the nations of the world agree to perpetual peace. A dictator, a general, has built up an enormous army and it cannot be left idle. War is about to be declared. As the general falls a victim to the terrible plague, he accepts the doctor's conditions for a cure. The war is to be immediately terminated. Unfortunately, as the doctor is on the way to the palace, armed with the ampules of serum intended for the general, he is lynched by the crowd for refusing to shout, "Long live the war!" The ampules are scattered and broken, and the crowd, pleased with its work, cries, "Long live the general!" The general dies. But war is not prevented. There can be no doubt of the fact that Čapek knows his audience. It was evident that, like the doctor in his play, his audience detests war in all its forms, and the generous applause on the drop of the curtain was sure proof of this.
This was 1937, and in his play Čapek predicted only too well the tragic events of the coming years. It was not long before German troops were to march into Prague. There is a tragic irony in the fact that 31 years later, in the summer of 1968, on the eve of another invasion, this time led by Soviet Russia, Radio Prague was broadcasting an adaptation of another of Čapek's great satirical works. This time it was the novel War with the Newts, which sees the world gradually destroyed and rebuilt to cater to the Newts' amphibian needs. Here is a brief extract, broadcast just 10 days before the Soviet-led invasion of August 1968.
Attention! Attention! Hello! Hello! Chief Salamander speaking. Stop all broadcasting, you men! Stop your broadcasting. Hello? Hello? Listen to Chief Salamander speaking.
Hello, you men. We regret causing loss of human life. We ask you to move away from the sea coasts.
Karel Čapek's War with the Newts on Radio Prague, on the eve of the Soviet invasion in 1968. Not surprisingly, that particular broadcast was not repeated until after the fall of communism.
From the archives brings us to the end of today's program. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, thanks so much for joining us, and take care.
Vous écoutez Radio Prague, la diffusion de nos programmes va maintenant se